and good morning, and welcome to the Drive Time edition of Lambda Weekly, the world's longest-running gay and lesbian radio show for the whole family. I'm David Taffet, and welcome to Lambda Weekly. We're here with Jerry Callum. He's the executive director of Lone Star Ride. But before we get to Jerry, I do want to mention it is still Pledge Drive here at KNON, and we do need you to call in and support gay and lesbian radio, community radio, radio. We're just finishing up our pledge drive. We need about $19,000 to hit our goal, the station goal, not the show's goal. Jerry is going to help us make that goal, aren't you, Jerry?
Okay, sure. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dallas.
And if you'll give us a call, the number is 972-647-1893. Operators are standing by. We do need you to give us a call to help us reach our goal. Number of things that you can get for Pledge Drive. I have none of the stuff in front of me because I'm not sure where Thomas is or where our envelope is. This has been a wonderful, organized morning.
Where's Vanna when you need her?
Exactly. But for a $40 pledge, you can get a KNON T-shirt or a KNON apron or a KNON ball cap. For a $75 pledge, we have a new KNON black and white umbrella with the KNON Voice of the People logo on it.
Very hot.
For a $50 pledge, we have a KNON backpack or a KNON lunch bucket. I'm just looking at all the stuff that's hanging on the walls
props.
In here.
Right. See, there's a whole crew back here of dancing girls that just are bringing prizes by it as we speak.
That's exactly it. So give us a call, Metro 972-647-1893. You can make a donation by
credit
check,
card.
Credit
check.
Card. Bank draft. If you just call us, want to make a bank draft, you can make your payment in.
You mean they can break it into payments, Dave?
They can break it into payments. And if, you know,
wow.
We need $19,000. You can break that down into 12 easy payments. It would be less than $2,000 a month. And
to support cutting-edge community radio.
Pledge drive would be over. So
there
give us a call. 972.
Big money.
647-1893. You're a good pledge drive guest because you're used to fundraising, aren't you, Jerry?
A little bit.
You are the new executive director of Lone Star Ride.
Yeah, event manager. Yes, I'm the guy that's running it.
And tell us what Lone Star Ride is.
Lone Star Ride is a yearly bike ride that benefits three of the AIDS organizations in the Metroplex. It's a two-day ride. It's always the last weekend of September. This year it's the 24th and 25th of September. You sign up now, you raise $500. That gets you the privilege of riding the ride with our big team. We're expecting 200 bikers this year, and about another 100 in crew. So together we're about 300 people that get together for the weekend. The three beneficiaries that we benefit are the Resource Center of Dallas, which is an AIDS organization that does comprehensive support services from HIV prevention and testing all the way through client services and various support services. Then we also have AIDS Services of Dallas, which is the AIDS housing organization here in Dallas, and AIDS Outreach Center over in Tarrant County.
And they're the comprehensive AIDS organization over...
Right, for Tarrant County.
Over on the other side of the line.
The Trinity.
What is the Lone Star Ride? It's a bike ride.
Yeah, it's a bike ride. It's, as I said, it's 2 days. You also, however, with our bike ride, get to choose your length. We have three different lengths that you can choose. For instance, in day one, it's 35, 75, or 105 miles. And on the second day, it's either 35 or 75. So someone can go as high as 175 miles, as low as, you know, 35, 50 miles, even if they want.
And what if you can't go quite that far even?
Well, you have a choice. We are a fully crew-supported ride, and what that means is that on the day of the ride, every 10 miles, just 10 little miles, we have what we call a pit. So you can stop, refill your water, eat, you can get a back massage. We have bathrooms every 10 miles. So it's truly luxurious. And compared to other multi-day rides, which many other multi-day rides, what they do is you live in a tent city for the evening. They have mobile tent cities that include showers and all that. We actually stay at what is called the American Airlines Training Center, a sponsor for us. They donate the space. for us to set up the ride. And so when you come home after their first day of ride, you'll come in, have a hot shower, your own room. I mean, it's practically a resort weekend for just raising $500 to help people. You get a full resort weekend. Who can top that deal?
You can't top that
deal.
That's
right.
The fundraising. If somebody doesn't want to just donate the $500 themselves, and most people don't want to.
Correct.
How do you raise $500 to support your ride?
It's very easy, actually. $500 in these days of social media, many people raise it just the first time out. Just asking their Facebook list, you know, I need $10 from everybody, and suddenly they're at $500. We're actually challenging people this year, however. The minimum that you need to raise is $500 to ride in the ride, but we're actually challenging people to raise $1,000. It's just as easy to raise $1,000 as $500. And this is a record-setting year for us. People can be part of history because we want to top $2 million. This is the 11th year of the ride, and this year we will top in the total, we'll top our total of $2 million. So it's a very historic year for us. We're challenging, like I said, everybody to raise $1,000. You know, the easiest way to raise it, and sometimes people get a little nervous about asking their friends for money because, you know, money's the topic that Mama said never talk about. But actually, we're in a time now that collective fundraising through individual effort is becoming more important than it ever was because of the changing nature of this epidemic. So, you know, last night I had an orientation training and I took them right through. I said, make a list of 20 of your friends and then make a list of 20 coworkers, 20 family members, so we're at 60. And then add in maybe 20 people from social media. Now, most people have hundreds of friends, not just 20, but let's say it's just 20. That gives you 80 people. If you ask 80 people for $10, that's $800. You're well over the $500 minimum and almost at 20. I mean, and almost at 1,000. If you ask 80 people for $20, which is easy for most people to do, then you're at $1,600. Boom. So $500 is very, very easy to raise. And that's one reason why we encourage people to go for more.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of raising money, this is Pledge Drive on KNON. And you said social media. How easy is it to raise money there? You know, we've been begging for you to give us a call, Metro 972-647-1893. We've been doing that the last couple of weeks. But the other thing I've been doing is posting it on my Facebook page and on the KNON Facebook page. And we've had more response to people actually going to the KNON Pledge Drive page and just filling out. It's all you need to do, fill out name, address,
right,
phone number, and how much you want to pledge and give a credit card number or just that I'll send in a check. We've actually, it seems like when we're here in the studio, we're not getting the response, but we are because we've been getting people to just go online. If you'd like to just pledge online, go to KNON.org, click on the pledge button, and you can make your donation. Otherwise, give us a call. Operators are standing by. 972-647-1893. And make our pledge. One of the reasons that our pledge drive this time has extended is because we lost some of our regular funding that we've had, so we've had
right
to increase our pledge drive goal. And so we've extended Pledge Drive an extra week, but we're making it. I mean, I'm looking at the chart that we have on the wall that's right behind you, Jerry, and we are
right
getting there. But support KNON 972-647-1893. We're talking to Jerry Callum. He's the event manager. Okay, right. I'm saying executive director, event manager of the Lone Star Ride. And now the Lone Star Ride is a ride that supports several AIDS agencies, and I know you've worked for Resource Center Dallas before. It's something that working for AIDS agencies is something that you've done for years and years.
Yeah, started in, you know, you're going to make me sound so old.
You are.
Which is fine, I am. I started in 1988 helping out at the Resource Center.
Mm-hmm. Which was like right after it was founded.
Yeah. Yeah, very quickly after.
Yeah,
when I was the eighth employee hired, I split my phone with John Thomas, the executive director. Yeah.
So
I ran four programs, which became departments eventually.
Treating HIV, just dealing with this disease, is something that's changed over the years.
Yeah. You know, HIV treatment is it works at light speed in the changes. You know, back the average disease in this country, the treatment paradigm changes for it maybe every 7 to 12 years, right in there. The treatment paradigm for HIV changes about every 18 months. Mm-hmm. It is literally the fastest evolving and changing area of medicine and the most technologically advanced. So for educators, anywhere from educators to patients, to stay up to date can be a struggle. Mm-hmm. And to understand what some of the new treatments will be doing, you know, it can be a struggle. It's a struggle for doctors. One of my previous jobs was as executive director of the American Academy of HIV Medicine. And one of its chief responsibilities was to keep the treatment community consistently up to date. And it's a challenge because it's all changing so fast. And that's good news. The challenging part of that, however, will be, especially in the next 10 years, is how are we going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. Because, yes, we're doing technologically advanced things, but they're going to be expensive, and new treatments will be expensive. The challenge that we face in the next 10 years to raise money will make the last 30 years look like peanuts compared to what we've had to raise and what we will raise.
Why is it that HIV treatments are changing so quickly and other diseases, which affect even more people, you know, heart disease and cancers, why aren't those changing as quickly?
Well, a couple of things. HIV has a very unique history. HIV is the only epidemic to ever flow up instead of down. In other words, it was the people that had it and the communities that were affected by it encouraging government and industry to take on the issue and the health issue. Whereas all previous epidemics have been top-down, government or industry trying to get the people to understand that it's a
it's
problem.
Serious.
Change restructured the entire area of medicine. Patient advocacy was created by HIV groups. That has created a kind of closeness of putting the technology and the trials. I mean, we pioneered early trials. We pioneered trials in the affected communities and giving them control of those trials. That created a pipeline of treatment testing, basically, for better and for worse, but that was directly into the patient. Mm-hmm. So drugs moved faster. We created an abbreviated approval process for drugs, for instance. That and just the sheer numbers of where the disease went and how fast really brought to bear some of the best minds in medicine. That doesn't mean, of course, that we couldn't have moved faster. It took 10 years to get Ryan White approved from the time the virus was really discovered to money out where people needed it.
Explain what Ryan White is for people who don't understand what that is. They've heard the term and know that it was a person maybe, but what is Ryan White?
Right, and it's interesting that kind of the pictures are coming back up because we're talking about Ryan White funding right now. Ryan White is called the Ryan White Care Act, Ryan White for short. It is one lump bill that funds most HIV services. It is unique throughout government funding because it's the only disease where it's all in one lump bill. Funding is often compared across disease areas, for instance, cancer, leukemia, diabetes, and HIV. And HIV is always a target, but the reason it's a target is because you can't add up every single part of the cancer budget or the diabetes budget because it's spread out over 10 institutes of health, whereas HIV is in one omnibill.
Is that a good thing then, or is that a bad thing, you think?
I think it helped us in that it brought clarity instead of having, for instance, when I ran a prevention department, instead of having to go through look for grants at 10 different institutes of health.
There was one place.
Right.
Okay.
And there was only one criteria. But it hurt us in kind of the sociopolitical fight because it was one giant target and continues to be.
So it's just one good place that they can cut. If they did that for cancer, well, you can cut here, but then we still have all
these
other...
You would never take out all... You couldn't politically take out... You couldn't fight 10 different fights across 10 institutes of health to fight for 10 different pots of funding.
Right.
To mount that would be, impossible. So, the structure's been very, very different. Getting treatments out and how we redesign the system has been very, very different. And it's led to a lot of changes. But remember, this was also a disease that was founded in the time of technological change. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the first modern flowdown that we've been watching. And of course, like I said, it's restructured both how government approaches disease and disease management, and same with industry, meaning the drug industry.
Mm-hmm. So when you said it's a changing epidemic, and it's an epidemic that we've changed how we're actually treating this epidemic, what are some of the changes that you've seen over the last year or so?
Over the last year or so, I think the data, you know, to see trends in data, of course, it takes time and it takes numbers, the two things. You know, we're at 15, 16 years since protease inhibitors came out. So now what you're seeing is pots of long-term data that are telling us, okay, the people that have survived for a number of years, I myself tested positive in 1994, so what, we're talking 17 years. What are we seeing? In other words, I've been undetectable for 10 years, did the immune system restore? Did we see full restoration, or did we see pots and problems? So the long-term data has actually, over the last 5 years, been pretty clear, and that is that a lot of the immune system comes back. There's still spots that don't get fully covered. So in other words, someone like me, I'll be fine, probably will need to take some meds for the rest of my life, most likely at least a little bit. And occasionally there will be health problems, just spots of them, generally able to be handled if you're lucky enough to have insurance and coverage and access to steady and consistent health care. Now, notice in that phrase, there's a lot of places there for it to break down. You know, we've just been through an economic downturn. A lot of people lost their jobs and therefore their insurance. So a lot of people that I've talked with have had to come off of their drugs because they're falling into an income well there where they're not, unfortunately, poor enough to get services, but they don't have enough to cover their COBRA payments. Mm-hmm. There are programs that can help there, but what we're worried about is people are falling through the cracks there.
Sure. With the changing epidemic, one of the things that I've been reading about, and we'll talk about this after the break, is a new prevention called PrEP, which is basically pre-exposure
prophylaxis.
Thank you. That's what that stands for. And that has to do with taking drugs when you don't have the disease to make sure you don't get it. It seems to me like a vaccine would be a whole lot easier, but we don't have a vaccine either, and I know some studies are going on, including one here in Dallas. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly here on 89.3 KNON-FM. I am Dave Taffet. One of the things I want to mention is there is a mayoral debate coming up on next Tuesday. It is going to be at Cathedral of Hope. It's being co-sponsored by a number. The Dallas Voice is the one who's sponsoring it, co-sponsored by a number of organizations such as Resource Center Dallas and Lambda Weekly. We're one of the co-sponsors of this. I will be one of the moderators.
Aren't you moderating it, David?
I will be one of the moderators of it. 6 o'clock next Tuesday, Cathedral of Hope. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYER. Imaging.com.
KNON depends on listener support to stay on the air. Now is the time for you to help keep this show on the air. If you like what you're hearing and want to show your appreciation for great community radio, pick up the phone and call to make your pledge. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Without the support of our listeners, there won't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes to make a pledge. 972-647-1893.
What
Field. The son of blues legend Muddy Waters is coming to Dallas in a very special KNON benefit on Saturday, June 4th at Poor David's Pub in Dallas. Big Bill Morganfield celebrates and honors his father with a deep Chicago blues style, telling his own stories through original songs with a wide variety of style, fiery slide guitar, and singing. Big Bill Morganfield holds a blues power and a nuance that is all his own. Joining Big Bill will be Jason Elmore and Hoodoo Witch. Jason Elmore opens the show with an acoustic set. Join us for this very special blues event. Tickets are available now at KNON.org, Bill's Records, and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. See the son of a legend building his own legacy Saturday, June 4th, when Big Bill Morganfield comes through town with Jason Elmore and Hoodoo Witch at Poor David's Pub. Poor David's Pub is located at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. We will see you there.
Well, now, helping people in a fun land.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and our guest today is Jerry Callum. He's the event manager of the Lone Star Ride.
Good morning.
Whose slogan is Go Forward.
Go Forward.
Where are we going forward?
We chose that messaging this year for a couple of reasons. One, athletes, their focus is always forward. You are trained as an athlete, biker, runner, swimmer, doesn't matter, to not look back. And the reason is it stops your forward momentum. So it's a message piece that we can lead on. But it is also about focus. The challenges, like I talked about earlier, the challenges that we have coming at us, both in fundraising and in treatment, could be very different in the next 10 years from the last 30 since we discovered this. So it's a place where we can lead. It's a place that resonates, that messaging resonates with athletes, with bike riders, in that our focus is forward. It has to be on what is ahead of us. We have fought important battles in the past. Themes might be reoccurring, such as money and paying for health care. Mm-hmm. But the kinds of challenges that we're going to face in the future, the technology that's going to roll out to treat the virus is going to require us to look at different ways to solve problems within the HIV community. So go forward.
So we need to go forward. now, one of the things looking forward is Truvada is one of the most successful HIV medications right now.
Right.
And
it's successful because it's easy to take, for one, and people stay on it, and it works. Sure.
Okay, so when you say easy to take, what do you mean by easy to take?
Because Truvada is several drugs in one dose, one pill. You don't have to count out a lot of different pills. Like, for instance, I take four medications. Well, Truvada is three in one. So it makes it easier for someone to take and keep taking it, and taking it in the right way and at the right time.
Okay.
To keep the right amount of drug in the blood,
and body. Also easy to take because a lot of people tolerate it, and it works on a lot of people because the same drugs don't necessarily work on everybody.
Correct. But one thing that we're seeing is that we're treating people earlier; they are less ill. So whenever, of course, as you can imagine, if you've taken NyQuil when you're sick, it's easier to take a drug when you're healthy than mm-hmm. when you're sick.
Okay.
So the earlier we catch people and start them on medication when their numbers, show that they need it, the better, because it's easier to tolerate the drugs.
Okay. So one of the things that has been done recently with Truvada is they've done some tests on people taking this drug who are HIV negative.
Right.
And what they found is that people who take this drug when they're HIV negative are more likely to not contract the disease.
Right.
How good an idea is that?
You know, that study showing that it has about a 40% prevention effect in health, and where this came out from is we have been doing PEP in healthcare workers that have been exposed for roughly 10 years. And what we saw there was about a 70% protection rate. So they then extended this line of thinking into prevention, for instance, of sexually transmitted HIV through both gay and heterosexual people. One piece is it will be interesting to see what happens when technology changes. Because what we're talking about right now with Truvada is kind of the old style, the traditional style that we're used to of attacking the virus from how it replicates. One of the new technologies coming out is to stopping the virus from actually using, by using an integrase inhibitor, something that stops it from latching on to its target cell. Mm-hmm. So while we're at 40% now, perhaps future drugs might even bring that up. But what we're really talking about here is treatment as prevention, not treatment versus prevention, which has always been in the past. Do we know that there is some truth to that? Absolutely. Because what we've known for 10 or 15 years now, after viral load testing and protease inhibitors came out, lower the viral load in the body in someone that's positive, then there's less virus to transmit. It just makes sense. But in this situation, of course, you're talking about no pre-existing virus. You're talking about a preventative hit, putting a pre-existing amount of drug into the blood so that when the virus comes out, it's hit before it gets inside of the cell. We'll see how this is going to phase out. The numbers are still pretty small, even in the largest of these tests. And for, you know, the way that drug testing works, you start in 10, then you do 100, then you do 1,000, then you do 10,000, then you do 100,000. And sometimes you don't discover either problems or ineffectiveness until you get to 100,000 and a million. Hmm. So I'd say the jury's still out somewhat on this particular drug and technology. The jury's not out on is treatment an effective prevention strategy for people that are positive. Will it stop them from or help stop them from infecting other people? Jury's not out there. That we know. Hmm. That is true.
Okay, so it will help get people from getting infected because we actually know that this will kill the virus before it attaches to the cell and causes someone to have HIV?
Or don't
we really know?
There's several different lines of thinking. Yeah. We're not exactly sure. Again, you have to prove it out in numbers. Until you get to 10,000, 100,000, we're kind of talking a little bit of different theory. They know how the chemical binding works. They know how this drug works, how it's distributed out through the body, and how it's pre-existing drug hit before the virus comes in. Or virus gets inside the cell and where the drug is so present so fast that it doesn't spread out to other cells. You know, probably they're what the technology in 5 years will say that they're probably both a bit true. Mm-hmm. You know,
and the reason that can happen is that you said you're taking four drugs, three of them are in one pill, and it's this one pill that we're talking about.
Right.
And what those three drugs do basically, I mean, this is a real simple explanation of it, is one of them attacks the virus going into the cell, one attacks it in the cell, and one attacks it going out of the cell.
Yeah, the virus works by turning a T4 cell into a factory for more HIV.
And what a T4 cell is?
T4 cell is the immune system cell that this virus targets. A T4 cell has three primary jobs to do in the body. One is it's the eyes and ears. It looks for things that are inside of you that aren't supposed to be. Second, it's the doctor. It diagnoses what is this thing. Is it a virus, a fungus, whatever? And then third is it's the kind of the commander of the immune system at that point. And it kind of calls the immune system up and has it attack this new invader. So as what happens is HIV starts invading T4 cells, you start to lose those three functions. Less eyes and ears, less ways to detect different kinds of infections within you. Less doctors because, you know, as the T4 cell declines, it's harder and harder for the body to figure out what the infection is. And third, less commanders. So less ways to call up specific immune system responses.
Okay. We're talking to Jerry Callum. He is the event manager of the Lone Star Ride. We're going to be talking more with Jerry. Before we do, it is Pledge Drive, and our Pledge Drive coordinator for Morning Talk. How do you like that little title I just gave you, Doc? He just handed me a note. He said, we had a call earlier in the pledge drive. It's from Craig Thompson. And he made a pledge in honor of his brother.
Right.
Oh. And that was very nice. If you'd like to make a pledge in honor of somebody, and that was in lieu of any pledge drive gifts.
That's right.
But if you make a pledge drive, if you make a pledge, It is, you know, I'm still getting used to using my mouth at this hour of the morning. We've only been
Tell
up
me.
For a couple of months in the morning.
Tell me.
If you'd like to make a pledge, the number is 972-647-1893. We want to wrap a pledge drive this week, and we need to make our goal because some of our big funding went away, and so we've increased what the pledge drive goal is, and we're doing well. I mean, we've already had the biggest pledge drive we've ever had here at the station, so I want to thank everybody who's participated. And it kind of sounds, you know, you extend pledge drive and it sounds like, oh, you're not doing real well. No, our goal's doubled. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. Some of those pledge drive premiums that I was talking about are T-shirts, our apron, our ball cap. Those are for $40 pledges. We have the umbrella, which is for a $75 pledge. We have a lawn chair for a $100 pledge. You can get two of them for a $150 pledge.
Ooh,
for
that's
a $300
deal.
Pledge, you can get
Come on,
all
Dave.
Of
Bring it home, Dave.
Yeah, that's right.
You
can get
Take
all of the spring pledge drive items. And for a $500 pledge, your name can be on the guest list of all KNON events. And Ooh. We have up there 5 different things going on.
It's a full schedule.
We do have a full schedule.
Damn right.
We usually have 40 to 50 different events every year.
That cutting edge stuff too.
Every weekend you could be doing something. They are at Poor David's Pub and at Sons of Herman Hall and real neat places.
The things that cool people do.
They are.
Yeah, totally.
Totally, totally. So that's for a $500 pledge. You can get, your name would be on the guest list. You get two tickets to get into all of these events, usually with food.
Ooh.
So it is a big savings. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. If we just sold 10 of those, pledge drive would be over.
Well,
just 10 of those.
$1,000 can get you.
And $1,000. Thank you. I have no paperwork here with me today because to remind me of what any of these are, it's just we've been doing this enough that how can I forget? On the pledge wall for $1,000, your name or your church's name or your band's name or your organization's name can be framed, would be hanging here in the KNON studios as long as these are the KNON studios, which will be a long time as long as we make our pledge goal. It won't be so long if we don't make our pledge goal. And what you're pledging for here at KNON, we're really just paying for the electricity, the phone bill, the tower rental, the duct tape that holds the station together. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. Jerry Callum is the event manager of Lone Star Ride, and speaking of raising money, Lone Star Ride raises money for a number of AIDS organizations in the mm-hmm. area. If you'd like to participate in Lone Star Ride, Jerry, how do they sign up to ride?
Well, we are technologically advanced. The easiest way to sign up is to just go to our website, www.lonestarride.org, O-R-G. And you go right in there. It's an automated process. You get registered. We get notified. We send you out a great packet that teaches you how to get started on fundraising and training. And then you come to an orientation, and we really take you through step-by-step, easy process of how to start your fundraising, how to hit your goals, and then how to get into training, bike safety, how to start training. It's actually very easy to get on a bike and get moving. People are always afraid of, oh my God, 30 miles even sounds like a long time. 10 miles sounds like a long time. On a bike, you have to remember, it's actually not. For 10 miles, you do that in less than an hour.
Right. You know, I've done Lone Star Rides since it started. I haven't done every single year, but I've done uh-huh. a number of them, and I'll be riding again this year. The first time I picked up a bike after 20 years, I got on the bike, I rode to the end of my block, I rode back home, and I couldn't make it up my stairs. I was that sore. Second time I rode to the end of my block, I came back, and I was fine. And then I rode a little bit farther. And in training for this, and you do need to sign up now. Lone Star Rides the end of September, but
right.
you need to sign up now so that you can practice and build
up. So you can train, you can fundraise, and you can be connected with us because we have tons of events mm-hmm. every month, fun things to do, ways to raise your money, events to bring people to. You know, we'll do things like, for instance, we have a rider social this Sunday, 2 o'clock at Level Bar and Grill on Lemon Avenue. you know, what we encourage people to do is bring out friends that want to ride, bring out yourself, meet people. Because one of the greatest things that the ride does is you meet tons and tons and tons of people. When I say the ride will change your life, it does. There's no way you can get involved in this and that it doesn't. You meet friends, you get in shape, you come to socials like this, you bring your friends that you need to help support you, and we'll do the talk. We'll tell them about the ride. We'll tell them everything you're going to do to get ready for the ride. We'll tell them everything that you're going to do to ride the ride, and we'll close them. We'll get them to write the checks. You don't even have to ask. We make it that easy. This year, we've added a whole lot of new tools to what we call the Rider Toolbox on how to raise money. Including, we'll take you through a formula on how to put together your list of people to talk with, how to divide that list into people that an email will work with, people that Facebook will work with, people that one-on-one lunch will work with. And we're bringing back the old fundraising party idea. So on a Saturday night, you get all your best friends together. I'll pop over. We'll have a talk with them. We'll close them. And I'm a damn good closer. We'll get them to ride. We'll get them to write you the money. Raising $500 in an issue that has affected so many people is not difficult. $1,000 is not difficult. We'll show you how. It is really easy to do.
My original fundraising letter, the first time I rode, I sent out by mail, because there was no Facebook at the time, and it
right.
said, AIDS, need money, don't make me beg, because that's when it gets ugly. And I raised my money. People knew me.
Right. And, you know, for instance, one of the most effective, I'm sure, just what you did, is why am I riding? Why is this money important? And, you know, people ride for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes age group will divide that up. Sometimes it's people that they know. Sometimes it's somebody that didn't know anybody, mm-hmm. but just thinks that people need to remember that HIV is still an issue. You know, it's the old phrase, action still equals life, mm-hmm. silence still equals death.
Mm-hmm. And we do need to support these organizations that are helping a number of people in the community just stay alive.
Yeah.
It is Pledge Drive. We need to take another break. The number is 972-647-1893. Give us a call. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month, with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
Coming to the Bone this Sunday, April 22nd, it's Chris Watson, Joey Love, and Christian Brooks Band featuring KNON's Lady Lotion for a KNON Barbecue and Blues benefit event. This is an early event with the doors at 5 p.m. Mama Faye's Barbecue and Home Cooked Food will be serving up their fantastic chopped brisket sandwiches, barbecue chicken, potato salad, famous barbecue beans. J-Mac of the Monday Blues Show will be hosting the party. Advance tickets are only $8 and are available at KNON.org, The Bone, Bill's Records, and Good Records in Dallas, Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. That's $8 for three awesome blues acts and dinner. This event will be one you're sure not to forget, so get your tickets now before there will be more at the door. The Bone is located at 2724 Elm Street in Deep Ellum. Just look for the big KNON painted on the side of the building. That's Chris Watson, Joey Love, and Christian Brooks Band featuring KNON's Lady Lotion with J-Mac and Mama Faze this Sunday, May 22nd at The Bone in Deep Ellum.
Is broadcasting Democracy Now!, a national daily radio news program covering today's news and issues. Democracy Now! Is hosted by Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, broadcast worldwide on over 900 stations, pioneering the largest community media collaboration in the country. Democracy Now! Can be heard on KNON Mondays through Thursdays from 8 to 9 a.m. Not the same old news heard everywhere else. It's news of the people for the people. Democracy Now!, Monday through Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on KNON 89.3 FM.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with Jerry Callum. We're just chatting about the Lone Star Ride.
Good morning.
Which benefits AIDS organizations. We're talking about HIV. And we're sitting here in the studio panicking a little bit. Our producer isn't here. My co-hosts aren't here today. Nobody's here. It is Wednesday, right? We are supposed to be here.
We are making it happen, people.
Which means that Amy Goodman might not be on at 8 o'clock. It might just be more of just Jerry and me talking because I don't know how to get Amy on the air here. Even though Thomas showed me, but I think I need to do something back there. I don't know how to do it.
That doesn't sound good.
I know what to do on the board, but that's about it. Anyway, I'm just talking to myself. This is called just rambling in the morning when you have no idea what you're doing.
When you're worried because you're not seeing the next producer.
You're not seeing the next person who's supposed to be here. A Lone Star Ride needs a number of volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
And crew. Okay, so if you don't want to ride your bike because for a number of reasons, but you do want to participate because it really is a fun event.
We have a blast. And this year in particular, because we're doing a lot of new things, a lot of fun things. The programs are going to be much wider. And so it's a fun thing to do. For instance, the Friday night this year that we used, our traditional thing is to have a check-in and spaghetti dinner. This year we're going to have a check-in and a pajama movie night with a pajama contest, no less. I know, all kinds of fun things. It's a whole fun weekend. Basically, 300 people gather in one space to do something for a cause. Something that you've been training for. You know, most people with the ride reach new heights in some area of their life. Either they've never fundraised, they've never helped a friend fundraise, they've never helped in HIV, they've never been on a bike, they've never been in shape. So people hit a lot of new personal heights, and to be with people that are going through that transformative process is just an amazing space to be in. And it's why people come back and do it again and again. But yeah, there are different ways. You don't just have to ride. We have lots of people that do what we call crew. And that's what we're, our name for volunteers. This ride is a full volunteer ride. I am the only full-time staff person involved in the ride. We run it through volunteer hours. And there's all kinds of things we do. We need massage people to do massage. We need medical people to volunteer for the medical areas. We need people to run the pit stops and the food lines and bike support and the sweep vehicles in case someone needs to be swept in and has to stop. So we are a full volunteer organization, and there's a variety of ways that people can be involved. Sometimes we need muscle men. Sometimes we need people to just fill water bottles. But it all happens on one weekend where we all come together. You will never see such a large team working so well together and so closely connected. And we create that connection throughout the season. Like I said, we have 3, 4, 5 events sometimes. And those are just the social events. We'll have several training rides a month. We take you from never being on a bike, from bare bones start, not even having a bike, to all the way getting you ready for the ride. And for instance, if you don't have a bike, I've got a bike locker. We can loan you a bike. It's a great deal. We can either loan you a bike and you turn it in at the end of the season, or two, you pay the very low cost that we paid for it. Or if you raise $2,000, you get to keep the bike. So even if you've got nothing and you're coming to us, we'll get you on a bike. We'll get you moving with friends and family of ours, teach you how to bike ride, teach you how to be safe, teach you how to fundraise. We'll get your funds raised, and then you'll get your butt on a bike on the last weekend of September and just have a blast at our resort weekend.
Yeah, one of the things that you said before was, you know, 10 miles, 30 miles sounds like an awfully long ride.
Yeah. Right?
The average speed that somebody bike rides Just an average slow
just
a, biker.
Just an average person bike riding. That's about 10 miles an hour.
And the more you ride, the faster you get.
Right.
One piece of equipment that really helps on a bicycle, I find, is to have a speedometer on the bike.
Yeah.
And the reason is because you can actually track your progress. Ooh, I did 10 miles an hour. Ooh, I'm up to 11 miles an hour. Huh, I just rode 13 miles an hour. And it does build.
Oh, yeah.
It really does build.
Yeah, and it builds rather fast, even if you haven't been on a bike in 20 years. Even if you think you could never ride. Even if you think 10 miles sounds so long. Once you get on a bike and you start feeling that motion and that wind going by you and riding around White Rock Lake, and it's just absolutely infectious. You just want it more and more.
Now, one thing that I've also found in training is riding around White Rock Lake,
yeah,
you get twice as much exercise riding an Oak Cliff.
Oh, really? And how is that?
The same distance because of the hills.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The hills. We have hills over here.
Well, we sort of had hills.
And when I say that, last year when I was training, I was riding just in my neighborhood, and I was riding and riding and riding and riding, and I'm like, God, I'm just not getting anywhere this year. I took my bike, rode to the train station, took my bike on the train, got to White Rock Lake, rode around the lake, and I said, oh, this is easy. And I didn't realize how much more my riding was doing because of the hills.
Oh,
and
right.
Down and up and down. And,
gotcha.
And so for those of us who are on the other side of the river.
I see.
Training is a lot different.
You know, and
it's a lot safer also.
Well, I also, you know, I just moved back from L.A. and New York after being gone for several years. And I keep getting, isn't biking here boring? Frankly, this is still the best biking that I've done. Yes, we lack hills, but I've lived in L.A. where I biked through Bel Air and Beverly Hills. I've lived in New York where I biked right behind the Statue of Liberty. And let me tell you, none of those places hold a candle to White Rock Lake. And especially now that we have so many biking trails, you know, you can leave from North Dallas, you can leave from anywhere, get on a biking trail, get down to White Rock Lake, go around it, and then go out to Fair Park, bike around it.
I haven't been on that new trail. There's a new trail. It opened last year, the Santa Fe Trail. It goes from White Rock Lake down to Fair Park.
Well, yeah, it actually goes out out of downtown, out the east side, out towards Fair Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just like the Katy Trails, one of the old railroad trails that they turned into trail. They're also going to take the Katy Trail now. They've started work. The Katy Trail will now go from downtown all the way to White Rock Lake. That construction will be done in about a year.
They're going to put a bridge over Central Expressway?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, it will go all the way through. And then, of course, there's already a trail that comes off of the north part of the lake that goes all the way up to Hillcrest and LBJ.
Right.
That's actually the oldest biking trail. So Dallas has quite an extensive network of trails that make biking very, very easy, pleasurable. You go through some really, really cool spaces. My favorite right now is still the one that goes up to Hillcrest and LBJ, because you go up under Greenville, along Central some. Now, that's going to be joining another trail that will go under the High Five and up through Richardson and Garland, that area.
Oh, so there'll be a branch off of that, off of the White Rock Trail going up to Richardson there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
That will join their new
great
trail.
That's great. Okay, so for those of us who have been riding around White Rock Lake, another ride around White Rock for so long. Okay. Now, the one place where there aren't trails, actually there is one short trail, but we need a longer one, is in Oak Cliff. And do you know what part of the city has the biggest biking group in the city? Bike Friendly Oak Cliff. It's the largest biking group. And do we have a bike trail? No. As usual, does Oak Cliff get left out? Yes. That's just, I shouldn't be telling you.
Well, part of that is, though, remember where these bike trails are off of industrial railroad trails.
Right.
If you look at where the industrial district was, they never fed through. Unfortunately, Oak Cliff. So we got to lobby for one. We have to get one.
We do. We need to build one there because, in Oak Cliff, we're big bike riders. One of my favorite things that Oak Cliff has done is in the Bishop Arts area.
Amazing.
All of the restaurants, in order to avoid having to put in extra parking spaces, they just with city zoning, you can avoid a certain number of parking spaces by adding bike parking.
Right.
And so several places have put in big bike parking lots there. And Saturday
and they have a great
Sunday
bike
morning.
Shop there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, great bike shop there. But Saturday and Sunday morning, what a lot of us do is bike ride to Bishop Arts and have coffee and sit outside and everybody socializes and then ride home.
And a lot of those people you met through Lone Star Ride.
A lot of those people I have met through Lone Star Ride. And a lot of those people, actually, I've talked to people about doing Lone Star
Ride. There it is.
Bike ride there.
That's so, right.
We're talking to Jerry Callum. He's the event manager of the Lone Star Ride, which is a ride in September. It's between 35 and 175 miles.
You get to choose.
Yeah. Choose your route. It's a crew-assisted ride, and Jerry is the new event manager. He's worked with Resource Center Dallas for a number of years, left town, came back to run the ride, and were you here at all when the ride first started, or you were already gone then?
I did the first Texas AIDS ride, which is the precursor before we're not related organizations, but that was Austin, Houston to Dallas.
Right.
That was 585 miles in 7 days. I was not here. I was already in Los Angeles in 2000 when the first Lone Star ride started.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. We'll be back with Jerry in just a minute. It is pledge drive still, and we need you to do one of two things for us. Either go right online and go to KNON.org, click on the pledge button, and make a pledge to help us end our pledge drive, or give us a call. Doc is sitting here in the studio with us. He is taking
phone
calls.
He needs some work to do.
He does need some work to do.
He does.
Got up at what time do you get up to get here?
About 3:30
in the morning. Yeah, he's out of his mind.
Oh, but it hurts me. It hurts me.
It does. Do you sleep at night?
Only 4 hours.
Okay. Say he has nothing else to do, so he.
If I only slept 4 hours, I'd be hurting everybody.
Yeah. But Doc is sitting here. He's been taking calls for us on the morning shows, and the number to give him a call and make a pledge to KNON is 972-647-1893. Plenty of pledge premiums. You know, one that I haven't mentioned is for a $35 pledge, we have KNON coffee. It is grown on the slopes right outside of KNON. Jerry and I will be, after the show, we'll be going out taking coffee beans.
Yes, we will.
And packing them ourselves.
Hands-on approach, Don.
It is. And you get two of them for $50, right? A couple of other pledge premiums, the KNON backpack, KNON lunch bucket for a $50 pledge, KNON umbrella. Yes, thank you. We have
Vanna is here in the audience.
Is picking
That's
up
right.
these pledge premiums.
Showgirls
so
and everything.
I can see them. For a $75 pledge, we have the KNON umbrella. KNON t-shirts for $40 pledges, and those are the black and white t-shirts, KNON Voice of the People t-shirts. The number is 972-647-1893. Help us wrap up the pledge drive. We'd like to end it this week. Help us make our goal and make up for the deficit that we have because we did lose some of our Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding that we have so heavily, not heavily relied on, but that we've relied on and we do need to make up, which is why we've extended the pledge drive some. We're talking to Jerry Callum. He has worked with AIDS organizations since 1988.
Yep.
Yeah, that's like from almost the beginning of the of the epidemic.
Very
the epidemic
on.
Actually is celebrating, I don't know if celebrating is the right word,
right,
but marking
sure.
the 30th anniversary.
Since the first report to the CDC from gay men in Los Angeles it was July of 1980. What am I saying? 81. I can't add. It's too early. It'll be 30 years.
And I'm asking this for a particular reason. When was it that they actually named it AIDS? Because originally it was called GRID.
Gay-related immune deficiency syndrome.
Yeah.
At a conference here in Dallas in 1983. Was when it was called GRID. AIDS and HIV came about 2 years later.
Okay.
And then the official AIDS word came out really in 85.
The AIDS word was 85. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Now, you can look back and see and things, but that's when the government said this is the official terminology they were going to use.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened, that change from GRID to HIV was from Dallas-based activists that actually kind of started, and then it spread in New York and L.A. Mm-hmm.